Okay, so we're reading How to Lie with Statistics by Darrell Huff, and this is me, Isabella, Jada, Terrell, and Khadija Koita. And we're just going to be talking about what we've noticed and what we've read from chapter 1 to chapter 4. So let's begin.
So I really enjoyed chapter 1. I feel that it really expanded my horizon on the way surveys were taken and the way people were really biased about who they surveyed, who they talked to, and the people that actually took the surveys. One of the things that I'd like to go back on is the part they were talking about how no matter what you do, who you say it to is always going to be a biased opinion. One of the examples where they asked, two different types of races. I think it was one black and one white, and they asked the questions about how, what would you think if Nazis took over, and then what would you think if Japanese people took over? And a lot of the black people actually said they'd be safer if the Nazis took over, which was a very, very strange answer, but I can see where it came from. So, yeah.
Yeah, I think it's really important to understand the people that you include in your surveys, because that can change your results dramatically. Like if you were to take a group of 20 black kids and a group of 20 white kids, and not only just race, age groups, demographics, like where they live, like what they're used to or accustomed to, I guess, like it'll really change your results dramatically. So I think it's important to have a variety, because each of those groups per se will be represented, opposed to just having one group that are all similar.
Okay, so like this doesn't really have to do with like demographics and stuff like that. You guys were talking about like race and stuff, but I have a question about something that they were talking about and that was shown in chapter 1 on page 19. So there's an illustration, and there's a man saying good morning, and then there's another man that said, I wonder what he means by that, like about the good morning. So I was kind of confused as to what that had to do with anything about statistics. Like I was reading and rereading, but it was just kind of confusing for me. So I was wondering what you guys thought about that illustration, like what it meant.
Okay, so going off of Isabella's question, I think this relates, I like how Darrell put this in the book, because he was saying, from page 19, I want to read a quote. That is, whom has the psychiatrist been observing? It turns out that he has reached this edifying conclusion from the studying his patients, who are a long, long way from being a sample population. If a man were normal, our psychologist would never meet him. This is basically talking about how a lot of the times when people kind of take a survey or put people into categories, they're only really examining only a proportion of people. So by that meaning, we have billions and billions and billions of people on the planet. So that means you are usually surveying only a bias of people. This psychologist here only surveyed people that were, what is the word?
A special group or whatever.
Neurotic.
Right. Okay. But what does it have to do with the illustration? Like, why is that man saying, I wonder what he means by that? I don't get that.
I guess what I think of when I see this illustration is that when he says, I wonder what he means by that, is that everybody has their own, like,
perception?
Yeah, their own perception, or, like, what's the other word?
View?
I don't know. Let's just go with perception. Perspective, that's what I was
looking
for.
Yeah.
And everybody takes things differently, and there's no, like, right way to understand something,
So I guess he's saying, like, in statistics.
Like, you never know what... I don't know.
I guess they're trying to say, like, I don't know, in statistics... I don't know. A right answer, but there can be multiple answers.
Could be that there is no right answer, because when you are studying statistics, you're studying
a group of data,
populations of people, and you don't I don't know. There could be many different perspectives.
Yeah.
Okay, so I'm on page 21 at the bottom,
And I'm going to read the quote. And all the while, the group must be divided equally between persons over 40 and under 40 years of age. So my question to you guys is, have you ever did like a survey or have sampled a population where mistakenly you only focused on a certain group of people and you wish you would have got a wider range of data?
Yeah.
Can you explain the project or what you were trying to figure out?
Well, I have. I've done it a bunch of times. Like, for instance, like, this one's pretty recent. We're doing a project in my aerospace engineering class, and I'm part of the PR group because we're doing a big project, and it's basically we're sending a hamster up to space and blah, blah, blah. So we're doing a big project, and since I'm in the public relations group, I have to, you know, get people to basically understand what we're doing, talk about what we're doing, get people involved in what we're doing, blah, blah, blah. So me and my team have made social media sites, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, all that stuff. And then I have also gone around and interviewed people and asked people questions, like simple questions about our project. So just to get them involved and more aware of what we're doing. And like after I was listening to all the recordings I got and like who I interviewed, I was seeing that I really only interviewed SLA seniors and, like, one teacher. So that's an example of how I wished I would have gotten, you know, more data and interviewed other people just than SLA seniors. Because SLA seniors aren't really going to care as much as, like, younger people or other people or maybe even people outside of the school. So I kind of wanted to get different answers from people who, you know, weren't going to have really, like, kind of the same answer.
How about you, Khadija?
Actually, I'm actually doing something in my storytelling class about how I need to basically come to a collection of interviews and come to a collection of statistics and kind of research based on only Black males. So that's a very specified kind of survey because when you're looking for a very specified kind of outlook and, you know, outcome, you want to only go for a certain type of person. Now, if I was going for a perspective of, you know, people in Philadelphia, then you would have seen people that have, you know, different perspective. But if I'm looking for people that live in, like, low-income areas and people that are only on the male race, the male gender, then, you know, you kind of come specify and slender your outcomes.
True. I also have a question, but it's not about this, so we're just going to move on. Okay, so I
have another question.
Oh, you can go first.
Okay, so my second question is, have you ever found yourself, like, when you surveyed or, like, collected mm-hmm. a population of people,
mm-hmm.
have you ever found yourself gravitating more towards people with a similar opinion as you, or were you trying to have a wide range and, like, looked for people who didn't have the same opinion as you?
Well, I mean, it depends on, like, what you're doing and what you're asking people because, like, say, racism. And I was interviewing people about racism. A lot of people have the same opinion on racism, which is it's not right. So me asking that question, I mean, I don't know people's, you know. But mostly, if I were to ask that question, you would get the response, I don't agree with it. It depends on what topic and questions you're asking people. But then, again, I don't know. Like, usually I ask my friends just because it's easier. Like, if I have a survey to do or questions for a class or something, I usually ask my friends because it's, like, the easiest access for me, and it makes it easier to get done.
Yeah, I was thinking of you when I asked because I know for your aerospace thing, most of us all had the same answers, like, yeah. no, we don't really care about aerospace, we don't really care that they're sending hamsters, so I was just curious as to why that happens, but I guess, like you said, because they're your friends and you have similar opinions as your friends most of the time, like, you share the same interests,
yeah.
So maybe that can be it, but yeah.
Okay, so now to my question. This is, like, jumping a little bit. This is on the second page of chapter 3. So I'm just going to read. It's, like, second page and third page. So it's, like, basically talking about chance and, like, how people test groups by chance. And there's a quote that I'm going to read that I was a little bit, like, not confused on, but I just had questions about it. So it's, the importance of using a small group is this.
With a large group, any difference produced by chance is likely to be a small one and unworthy of big type. Blah, 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 blah. So, I don't know. That, like, in that part of the book, usually people would say, instead of, like, say you're doing an interview or you're questioning people. Usually people say you need to get a variety of answers mm-hmm. and all that stuff. So I didn't really understand what the book was saying when it said using it's important to use a small group. What do you guys think? Do you think that the book is right? Or? Because it said, with a large group of any difference produced by chance is likely to be a small one and unworthy of a big type.
I think what that's trying to say is that sometimes when you have a large collection of data, then there are more outliers, there are more small things that are mm-hmm. different that mm-hmm. will be irrelevant in the end. Yeah. So I think that's what it just means by that, I guess. True. That there will be some type of small piece of information that ends up being irrelevant because it's so small compared to everything else.
Mm-hmm. True.